Our family got to experience our first hot, fresh Krispy Kreme donut this weekend. And I'll tell you, I'm glad that they were free right off of the little deal, because after that lesson, I'd have felt kind of guilty and splurging on a Krispy Kreme. Appreciate that, Marty. Back in 1984, the Dunkin' Donut Company, though, had an advertisement out where this old boy was laying in bed and his alarm went off. I don't know if you remember this or not. And he'd wake up and he'd say, "Time to make the donuts. Time to make the donuts." And he'd get ready for work. He'd be walking through the bathroom and he'd be saying, "Time to make the donuts." He's kind of like a zombie almost. And you see him go off to work and he'd say, "I bet the supermarket guys are still in bed." Well, I think the point and the reason that the Dunkin' Donut Company came out with this advertisement like this was because they wanted to prove to their consumers that their donuts were good and fresh, and every day they got up early in the morning and made them for you, just special for you. And I think that was a good advertisement. But I think there was also something that we could gather from that advertisement. The monotony that this guy went through. Every single morning he had to get up and make the donuts. You know, the alarm would go off at 4 o'clock, time to make the donuts. Day after day after day, with no vision, no goal, or no hope for anything other than getting up and having to make the donuts. How depressing. How depressing. I wonder sometimes as Christians, though, where are we at in our lives? Are we kind of like this guy stuck in a tunnel of life with blinders on, with no vision, no hope for anything other than time to get up, time to go to work, time to feed the kids, time to go to church, time to go back to church? Oh, third time this week we're going back. Do you get the point, though? Sometimes life can get monotonous and we've lost focus and we've lost the importance of the hope that should be there for us at the end of this life. The hope that our Savior returns. The hope of Christ's return. And we can get stuck into that rut, and we don't want to. So I'm going to try to encourage us this evening to maybe recognize some things about our hope of Christ's return. Number one, or three things that then we're going to discuss this evening. One, that hope can be repressed. Hope can be restored. And then there are results of hope in our lives. Repressed hope, restored hope, and results of hope in our life. The word repressed means to hinder the development of. And if you think about that old boy making the donuts, he had no hope because there was no development in anything else in his life other than making the donuts. Well, if our life is just focusing on the monotony and the things that we do day in and day out without any focus on spiritual things and having a goal of reaching then heaven and looking forward to our Savior returning, we kind of get downtrodden, get repressed in our hope. There's no hope there whatsoever. I'd like to begin in Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter. This is where Moses is recounting the rebellion of the children of Israel. They've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, and he starts naming these things that they've done. Remember the fiery serpents. Remember all these things in the rebellion that you had, specifically the golden calf incident, and they crushed it up. This is where he talks about them crushing it up and making them drink this. And he says in verses 23 and 24 of chapter 9, Deuteronomy 9, 23 and 24, "Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, 'Go up and possess the land which I have given to you.'" See, God gave them a hope, a vision. He set all these things out for them, and they just didn't want to grasp a hold of it. He said, "I go up and possess this land that I've given to you." "Then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and you did not believe in him, nor obey his voice." Verse 24 says, you have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. The reason that the children of Israel had no hope for the promises that were given to them is because they didn't believe that God was truly going to follow through with this stuff. On Mount Sinai, it didn't take them very long whatsoever. How many days was Moses on the mountain? 40 days is all the longer that he was gone, and the children of Israel recognized that, oh, he's gone. He's not coming back. We have no hope now. So what do? We make us a god instead. See, they had a desire to have a god and follow after a god, but they'd lost all hope of the promise that God had given to them and rather gave in to then the lifestyle that they were living at that time. So they were repressed. They hindered the development of their hope for the promise that was given for them because of their disbelief in what God was going to to do for them. It makes me also think that possibly as they traveled within the wilderness and that cloud moved from the tabernacle, you know what had to take place? All the people had to come together and pick up the tabernacle and move it, tear it down, move it. Time to move the tabernacle. Time to do it over and over again. You see the point? They lost the hope being focused on the things of this earth and not having the goals set before them. They needed to have God in their life and be more spiritual to maintain that hope of the promise God had given. Losing the sight of that hope and the sight of the promise that God had given to these people made them to act hypocritical. They said numerous times, yes, we will follow God. Yes, we want to do what God's will is. But then they turn right around and they live a completely different lifestyle. Or they sinned against God numerous times. The children of Israel were notorious for that. In Job, the 8th chapter, if you'll turn with me, Job 8, verses 11 through 14, some interesting scripture here. This is Bildad speaking to Jonah, or Job, excuse me. And he talks about the hope of the hypocrite in verse number 13. We'll start in verse 11, though. Can the papyrus grow up without a marsh? Can the reeds flourish without water? While it is yet green and not cut down, it withers before any other plant. So are the paths of all who forget God. And the hope of the hypocrite shall perish. Whose confidence shall be cut off, and whose trust is a spider's web? Because of their hypocritical actions, the children of Israel had no hope. And their hope of a hypocrite is going to perish. There's nothing there. It's just going to dissolve. So as we as Christians, if we have focused on this world and the earthly things of life, we've lost our hope. We've become hypocritical, saying, yeah, I want to serve God, but then I go off and do something different. Then I'm going to lose my hope as it perishes here on this earth. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Remember, in the context, this lesson is in the context of the hope of Christ's return. 2 Peter chapter 3, and verses 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Christians should, A, be looking for the new heavens and the new earth, looking for the day, hastening the day of the coming of the Lord. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20, Jesus says there, surely I am coming quickly. And the response was, even so, Lord, come quickly, wasn't it? Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly is what the meaning was there. Because of the promises, then, that we have set before us, we should be able to look for new heavens. We should be able to look for new earths. We should have this joy and this hope of our Savior returning for us in the end. Instead of having a repressed hope, then, we should have a restored hope. There should be these things, then, should restore our hope and give us, then, that vision once again of our Savior returning. So point number two, we should have a restored hope. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, in the very first verse, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of our God and Savior and Jesus Christ, our hope. Our hope. To get a restored hope, the only way that we can get it is through our Savior. The only way is through Jesus. Our hope should be in nothing else than Christ's precious gift and his promise of returning. We sing the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Are we truly believing that? Do we truly have that feeling within us that he is my Savior and he is the one that I have hope in? Or do I go through this life day after day doing the things that I think are necessary to get to the end of this life? The goal is the hope of Christ's return. So if we are this type of person on this earth, what are we truly thinking on? What is it that we are doing? What is our mind wrapped around? Are we thinking on spiritual things, or are we thinking on the things of this world? Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse, talks about those things that we should be meditating on, should be thinking on. And there's no doubt that these were compiled for us for a reason, so that we would be able to read them and apply them to our lives. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, pure, lovely, of good report, think on these things. Don't think on the things of this world. Get bogged down in life, because life will cause you to lose the hope and have a repressed hope that will not gain us anything. But thinking on these things, challenging ourselves to stop focusing and fussing on the earthly material things of our life, will cause us to gain a spiritual hope again and have a restored hope. And it's only through practice. If we practice truth, if we practice purity, if we practice love, and we practice goodness, then we have the opportunity to restore that hope of our Savior's return once again within us. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 8. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are also confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. One thing that can restore hope within us is knowing that we aren't going to live here forever. This body is something that is going to be done away with. This earth is something that's going to be done away with. And we have a new home in heaven and a new body. And that should give us hope of Christ's return. That should give us hope for that day when he comes back. We're not going to be trapped here forever. But do we groan earnestly for that? Do we look forward to that? Or is it something that, boy, I hope the Lord doesn't come yet, because I've sure got a lot of stuff I need to do on this earth. Where's our focus at? And then we have a guarantee. It's not that God has just said these things, but he gave us the Spirit as a guarantee for the hope that is set before us. There's confidence and pleasure in knowing that we will be with our Lord and knowing that he will return for us. Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 7. Colossians 3, 1 through 7. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Once walked, past tense, not present tense. Be living a life that is spiritual, setting your minds on things above, not on the things of the earth, can help you restore that proper hope for Christ returning. Hope can be restored with the focus and the application of Christian living. If we're not living as a Christian, we have no reason to have hope. It takes that application then to give us a hope of our Savior returning. Set your minds on things of heaven, not on things of the earth. We can have a hope repressed. Our hope can be restored. And lastly, when we have a restored hope, there's going to be evidence of it in our lives. There's going to be a result of that hope. And I'd like to look at five things from the Scripture that give us an idea of individuals with hope in the Savior's return and what it looks like on a daily basis. First, let's go to Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke 12, verses 35 Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants from whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down and to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Blessed. Matthew, the fifth chapter, the Beatitudes says, blessed are. What's that word mean? Blessed means that they are happy. Happy are these people. These servants were waiting for their master to come home from the wedding, and they were excited. They were happy that he was coming home. Do I look out among you and see nothing but frowns? Look out among you and see scowls and wishing I'd hurry up so we could go skating? What do we look like as Christians? Are we happy? Are we making people see the joy that we have in our Savior and in the hope that is set before us? The hope that Jesus Christ will return? Or do we bicker and complain and those people around us see and hear the type of people that we truly are and where our heart truly is for the Lord? These servants were happy that their master was coming back. Let's be happy, brethren, that we have a hope in Jesus returning. Romans, the 12th chapter and the 12th verse, tells us to be rejoicing in hope. So there's no reason whatsoever that joy should not be coming from us continually and knowing that our Savior will be returning for us. Should be a sense of happiness when we have hope. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 24 and 25. As we look at the result of hope, Romans 8, 24 and 25 says, "For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Are we persevering in the hope that we have on this earth? That should be part of our daily life. Trials, temptations, struggles are all going to come upon us. We're not guaranteed an easy road at all as a Christian. But we have to persevere as a Christian, knowing that that hope that we have is what is going to help us get to that finish line and help us gain that reward that God has promised to us. So have perseverance in the hope that we have. Don't get stuck in the rut of life, but strive on to the finish of life. Romans, the 15th chapter, in verse 13. Romans 15 and verse 13 says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, and that you may abound in the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." The God of hope may fill you with what? Joy and peace. We shouldn't be stressed out. We shouldn't be worrying. Rather, we should have peace in our lives, knowing that this is not what we are going to end up living all of our life, but rather we have an eternal life and we have a hope in our Savior returning to gather us together. Have that joy and that peace in believing in God's promises. Psalm, the 16th chapter, in verse 9 says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope." My flesh will rest in hope. And now I'll have to admit there's nights that I lie awake in bed thinking about the things of my life, worrying about some things, and Christ tells us not to worry, but I think it's natural as humans that we have some issues that we have to work through. But the psalmist tells us that we rest in hope. Our flesh rests in hope. We should be able to just relax and not worry about the things of this life, and knowing that we are not going to remain here in this life, knowing that we have hope in our Savior returning for us. And that may be a little bit of a challenge for us, but focus. Try to get to that point in your spiritual life. Now, lastly, then, the fifth point here I want to make about the result of hope is from Titus, the second chapter, in verse 13. "There's no more joy that comes to my heart when I come home and I see the little noses and eyes pressed against the glass of the window of the house. My children anticipate Daddy coming home from work. Oh, they're so excited. Oh, Daddy's home. They open the door up and, hey, let's play. Daddy didn't want to play right now. Well, let's play. So we got to get on the floor and wrestle. If you're a dad, you've been there, right? So Titus, the second chapter in the 13th verse, kind of gives us an idea of how we should be in looking forward to our Savior returning too. Titus 2 and verse 13 says, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is there any anticipation within you? Is there any excitement within you knowing that Christ is coming back to get us? Is there any hope within you? Or are you just running through this life like the donut man? Day after day, time to make the donuts. Time to do what I have to do on this earth. Get some anticipation, get some happiness, get some joy. Have these results of hope within your life. In conclusion, life can cause us to lose hope, or life can cause us to have a repressed hope, a hope that has no chance of going anywhere else, unless we restore hope, and that restoration of hope only comes through our Savior, Jesus Christ, and a focus on God's Word and an application of that Word in our lives. And lastly, through that application, then we see the results of hope in our lives every day. And some of those results are that we will have happiness. We will be joyful. We will be persevering. We will be filled with the peace that comes from God. Our physical bodies will be able to rest, and we will be full of excitement and anticipation, knowing that our Savior returns someday to gather us to His home. What's a man like that does not have Christ in his life? He has no hope. If you have no hope, you're a miserable person because you just cannot cope with the things around you. If there's no reason for us to be excited about anything beyond this life, we will be miserable. And we see that in our society all around us. People are absolutely miserable because of this life that they're living on this earth. And we see the suicide rates skyrocketing because people cannot cope with what they're dealing with on this earth. But it takes Christ in their life to give them a reason to persevere, to carry on, and to do the things on this earth that they don't like to do, knowing that they have a hope of their Savior returning for them at some day. If you're here this evening and you do not have hope in your life because Christ is not in your life, we give you this opportunity to make that known as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.